It's 2018. It's January. The Golden Globes are on. But guess what? You're watching Netflix News next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yeah. 2018. And we're getting jiggy with it.
Too much jiggy with it.
Have you guys ever tried this at karaoke?
No.
Although I know most of these lyrics.
Or is it just getting jiggy with it?
Ball with the kid. Watch your step. You might fall trying to do what I did. Mama.
And then there I go.
Yes. All right. That's amazing.
And fail.
Fairly
boring. No, that was great.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome back. Happy New Year. It's 2018, January, and we're talking Netflix news. I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G. And I'm joined by my cast.
Cast? No. I thought we were a panel. I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N.
And I am the only lady here. We will be sharing why Ashley's not here soon. But I am Amy Cassandra Martinez. I know it's new year, new name, new hair, new everything. But you guys can find me on Twitter at Amy Cassandra M and on Instagram at Amy Cassandra Martinez.
And she is the only lady here. Ashley Chaney is actually at the Golden Globes right now. And we've got a little footage from her that she sent a few hours back. That's why she looks dolled up. Let's check it out.
Hey, Rick, Amy, Steve, and everybody else watching Netflix News on AfterBuzz. I'm here at the official Golden Globes party for the Golden Globes. This is the after party. I'm so sorry I can't be with you guys, but it's important that I be here tonight, especially because so many of the nominees are represented on Netflix itself. So we've got people from Mudbound and Get Out, which I know are streaming right now on Netflix, so make sure you watch those. Amazing talent here tonight. Everybody is in black, as you guys probably all know, so this is my black dress. Tune in next week, and I'll give you all the scoop on who I saw, who I talked to, and by then we'll be able to talk about some winners and what you can watch on Netflix. I love you guys, and I'll see you next week.
It's our very own Ashley Chaney. And for you guys that want to be talking to her on Twitter or the Instagram, you guys can get a hold of her at
Ashley on camera.
Ashley, yes. Ashley on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
Yay, so. And I really do love, I mean, I know we're not going to be talking about the Golden Globes the entire time, but I really do love what everyone's doing by wearing black, and I just really am so excited for what this future holds for us. What this year holds for... You guys are so silent. I'm talking...
Well, you're the time you're talking.
This look like... but yeah, I mean, I feel like the Golden Globes are the start of, you know, award season, so... I'm curious to see what's going to happen.
Well, something that's probably not going to be winning an award, and right off the bat, we're going to talk about it because we finished the year off with it. I got some stats on it, and the reason we opened up with Will Smith Jiggy style, or getting jiggy with it, whatever.
No.
Because we're going to be talking about...
I'm sorry, it's Big Willie style. That's the album. He's getting jiggy with it on Big Willie style.
Right.
That is a national treasure.
Okay.
A national treasure.
I'm glad you know this.
So... Bright came out, and it kind of didn't, I don't think, hit expectations necessarily per se. And I was talking about it since we started the panel, because I wanted to know how a $90 million movie that you would normally pay tickets for at the box office would go. And I watched the whole thing. I didn't mind it. But Steve Kaufman and Amy Cassandra Martinez have a different take on it.
I did not like this movie at all. I feel like that's where Amy was, too.
I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I usually give a movie about 30 minutes, and if I'm not super hooked, I'm like, got it, get out. So I made it 20 minutes.
Funny, this story had me hooked by minute 30 and then lost me by minute 45. That's how I felt about this movie. Also, to your point about whether this movie would or wouldn't be successful, Netflix has a good indicator in which... they can pretty much make up their own facts and their own stats.
And so, considering facts and stats, Nielsen actually said that 11 million people in the first 3 days of release watched this. And it also drew an audience of about 7 million U.S. viewers, 18 to 49. And keep in mind that they own this, so they'll be able to stream it forever and get all the stats from that. Whereas normally, 90 million sounds like a lot of money, but... you got to keep in mind that they don't have to license this because they own it.
Mm-hmm. They're talking about in perpetuity. Similar to, like, if I spent $15 to make a YouTube video tomorrow, you guys might go, wow, that's a lot of money. 15 is a little low, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I spent $150 tomorrow to make a YouTube video, that might be a lot of money to make a thing tomorrow, but that'll exist in perpetuity pretty much forever. That $90 million is not a huge amount of money. I don't know how I feel about a sequel, though.
However, let's talk about some comparisons. Stranger Things Season 2. Amy Cassandra Martinez's favorite show on Netflix.
This year.
Yeah. For 2017. Yes.
There's a lot of good shows.
The premiere episode averaged an impressive 15.8 million. So that's the premiere episode, and then 11 million in the 1849 demo.
This is also according to Nielsen, who is at their best, kind of getting it right, and at their worst, completely guessing.
Yeah, I mean, someone has to try to make the attempt to track it, sorry. And also, you got to keep in mind that they're tracking via televisions. They're not tracking in terms of who's watching on a phone, who's watching on a computer, who's watching on a tablet. So,
who's watching on a tablet that's Chromecasting it to a TV, who's watching on a TV that's Chromecasting it back to the tablet. That's not a thing you can do, I don't think. But the Nielsen numbers are a good barometer, but Netflix knows the numbers and they're not telling anybody. That 11 might have been 20, and 20 could have been abysmal. We don't know.
I do want to add that I'm in the chat. So we've got Zias Bilu saying this.
Ah, Zias, what up, or Zias? Yeah, it's like the guy, he follows me around everywhere. Thanks for watching The Gifted. Thanks for tuning in on this. And
He said, I liked Bright. I disagreed with what the critics were saying. So let us know in the chat if you liked it, if you haven't seen it yet, if we are piquing your interest. Let us know.
We're gonna jump off Bright, and we're just going to kind of step into what's going on for the new year. And something that popped up, brought it up a few weeks ago, is Sabrina the Teenage Witch. It was a big hit with Melissa Joan Hart. If you guys don't know who she was a Nickelodeon star on Clarissa Explains It All back in the 90s, and Sabrina the Teenage Witch was a 90s show. So the CW wanted to do a companion piece to Riverdale on CW. Netflix came in, grabbed Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and it's going to be starring Kiernan Shipka, who I think we're going to try to throw up her picture here in a second, who is the daughter of Don Draper in Mad Men, and I think she is a great find for them to be, and almost like the right age, too, to be Sabrina.
I think she's perfect age. I also think it's very helpful to their metrics because, like I said, all we know are the Nielsen numbers. They have very specific metrics, and I'm sure somewhere they're like, well, no, Kiernan Shipka, who was in these episodes of Mad Men, did well with these kind of users, so if we put her in this thing,
possibly
it'll actually move. Like, the kind of people who watch Riverdale or the kind of potential audience for Sabrina the Teenage Witch, I'm saying Netflix might have data.
Kiernan Shipka is like a really, really, really good actress. I mean, she had to be pretty mature from a young age from when Mad Men started to where she grew up. I don't know how many episodes she actually got to watch when she was younger, but I think she's a fantastic choice. And this is going to be a dark show.
Riverdale. It's the same as the Riverdale.
More in mythology and mysticism. Mm. You know, like it's a teenage witch, so there is no TGIF fun.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's the same crew that's making Riverdale, so it's a companion piece to Riverdale. And Riverdale's not a TGIF three camera sitcom.
Sure, but it's still CW. This is going to be Netflix, so we'll see how the changes happen. Yeah,
I can buy that.
I mean, I'm excited. Are you guys going to watch it?
I will. I'll definitely watch it for her. Yeah. I don't know.
I'll definitely jump in on that one.
Yeah. For sure.
I mean, funny enough, I started watching Mad Men from the beginning. Like, I've never seen it. So I haven't even gotten to where her character is introduced. So I'm excited to see how
you actually have.
Really?
She's Don Draper's daughter.
Well, I've only seen the first episode.
Never mind then.
Yeah, you've been introduced to Peggy. So far, or Elizabeth Moss, that's who you've been introduced to.
Yeah.
Is the daughter not? I thought that was the whole thing about that pilot. You see that he has a wife and kid.
She's saying that there's no real story arc there.
Yeah. Yeah. But you haven't seen much of her, but you've seen her.
Yeah, it's more about Don and...
Yeah.
And Don and Betty, and then Don's relationship with Peggy is the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, and the fact that you thought he was just this New York bachelor playboy... And then at the very end, he comes home to like a family in the suburbs, and you're, like, that was the big hook for that show for me. It was like, that guy has a wife and kid. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like I'm watching it now because I like to watch shows that maybe I just missed the first time around.
Mm-hmm. Or you like to binge it?
No, honestly. No, I'm currently watching several different shows, and I take my time. And some days I want to watch Mad Men. Some days I want to watch Gossip Girl. So, you know, it's just the mood, watching. Yep. Yeah. So that's what I love about Netflix, that you can watch older shows and just watch them from the beginning and finish them. I mean, I finished The Office at the end of last year, and I cried my eyes out. But thank you, Netflix, for having it there for us to experience and cry, too.
I actually really enjoy Mad Men's ability to, you can watch it, but you can also just put it down. Like, it's not,
yeah.
Versus, like, Breaking Bad, like, it's very cliffhangery of, like, I gotta keep watching Breaking Bad, whereas Mad Men, you could watch three and be like, cool.
At times it's cathartic, and it's not so many episodes either mm-hmm. where you're kind of feeling you're getting dragged out. So at times it can go a little slow, but I finished that. I enjoyed Mad Men from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Reeves is a guy who worked with J.J. Abrams way, way, way back in the day, and he has a deal now with Netflix. If you ever watched the TV show Felicity, that was a show that the two did together. And now what's interesting is to see J.J. Abrams, you know, Star Trek, Star Wars. Matt Reeves did the remake of Let Me In, which is like kind of a vampire take, and then he just finished up War for the Planet of the Apes, and now he's going to be doing the new Batman with or without Ben Affleck, probably without Ben Affleck. Aww. But he's a filmmaker, creator, writer, director that just got signed. So I'm going to be pretty interested to see what he does for the Netflix platform. Obviously, Batman, or I guess they're calling it The Batman, won't be on Netflix, but. Mm-hmm.
I'm also excited because we don't have any details of like what is or isn't greenlit about that deal. Other than that deal, he's got that deal. So like, aside from like, yes, I'm excited to see him work. We don't have anything else to sink our teeth into here. I was about to talk about Batman. I'm like, this isn't the show.
No,
this is not.
No.
Here's what I think about Batman and Ben Affleck. Like, wait, that's not the show, Steve.
No, okay, so we've been gone for a few weeks. We transitioned from December to January. There's been some releases. We watched stuff over the holidays. Amy, what'd you watch?
I saw a lot of holiday movies, so plenty of those. But, like I said, I finished watching The Office. I started watching a few episodes of Black Mirror. I realized that I've gotten to be the person that doesn't really binge watch anymore because I like to savor each one, and it's like a little treat at the end of the day. So I'll watch a max of 3 episodes a day of the same show, unless it's like an easy one like New Girl. But it's just super
22 minutes and then you're done.
Yeah. I most recently, like yesterday, started watching Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and holy moly, I freaking love it. It is Jerry Seinfeld. I mean, he's the one interviewing all the comedians, and he has a different car every single episode. And now these episodes they range from like 12 minutes to like max 20 minutes, I want to say. So very easy to watch. And I mean, I've seen...
And that dropped on January 5th.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's right there for you. I've seen the one with Kristen Wiig and Tina Fey. I love it. Oh, and Jim Carrey as well. Mm-hmm. I love it because you get to see a different side of these comedians, that it's not, you know, they're not acting, they're not pretending to be like, oh, hey, I'm on stage, or look, I'm being interviewed by a host. You know, they're just hanging out with Jerry Seinfeld. So it's really fun to watch. And I mean, even like Jim Carrey, he does this thing with like standing on top of this booth at a diner kind of thing. And then he does something with Splenda. I hope I've sort of piqued your interest because it's fun. And now I kind of want to go to all of these restaurants that they've been to. There was one, I think it was Kristen Wiig and Jerry Seinfeld. They went to House of Pies. And I'm like, I want to go there.
You've not been to House of Pies?
I've never been.
Really?
House of Pies is fun.
And Los Feliz or Silver Lake? Los Feliz, Silver Lake area. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Republic of Pie.
Right. No, those are
parliamentary, and democratic. Two different things.
Mm-hmm. So, I've also been watching, like I said, Gossip Girl, New Girl, all of the other ones that I'm just taking my time with, but currently obsessed with.
Whatever has comedians. Girl in it?
Mm-hmm. Just type in girl and then.
I mean, I don't think so. I just.
Girl Home for Christmas.
Gilmore Girls, I've already seen that a few times, but. Yeah, I mean, whatever catches my eye. And you'll see, like, in my queue, there's a lot of, like, continue watching. Because, like I said, if I'm not hooked right away, I'm like, get out. So.
What did you do that with? Did you do that with anything specific where you were like, I'm going to try this, and then you were like, nope, I didn't like this?
I mean, let me see. That's a very good question. I can tell you this.
While she's looking, I'll just jump in with mine.
Yeah, go for
it. There's this 2-hour piece on Netflix that I watched incessantly, and it gets better after the first hour, and it's called Fireplace and Melodies for the Holidays. Gets really better in the second hour. It's just a fireplace thing.
Oh, is that what Ashley was talking about?
Yeah. It's just a fireplace. It's a 2-hour loop of a fireplace with melodies.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
In real place. I've rewatched season one of The Good Place. Shot in the Dark.
Oh, Good Place.
Shot in the Dark. It's a docuseries on Netflix. It's about the, not necessarily paparazzi so much as like photographers and videographers who drive around LA to get cool stuff. A host here at AfterBuzz TV actually worked on it. Also, a documentary called Voyeur, a docuseries called Wormwood. I just kind of got into the Dave Chappelle thing, and then obviously Black Mirror.
Yeah. I also started watching Orange is the New Black again from the beginning because it was one of those where I was on it from when it started, and then I just kind of trailed off. And so now I'm trying it again. It's an undertaking to start a show all over again, even knowing that you've already seen it, but you don't want to miss things. You know, I don't remember most of what I saw.
It's interesting. It's interesting about Orange is the New Black. For me, I watched up to the most recent season, and I was watching it, and I think I've dropped off somewhere in the middle because, like, I'm not sure if I like that storyline, but it's one of those shows that I've watched it from the beginning, I've enjoyed it, that I need to go back to, but there's so much content that's being dropped.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's one of those things, like, can I get through it? Like, Black Mirror, for example, that I watched, I got through it in a day. You know, like, or, you know, it just, like, it's back to back to back, or about at least 2 days. It was one of those things where if you're able to have the time to binge watch it, it did Black Mirror. And granted, there's only like 6 episodes.
Yeah.
So, Orange is the New Black. I need to kind of get back to it. Something that I really, really, really enjoyed. There's 4 episodes. For some people, for millennials, you may not enjoy this as much as I did, but The Toys That Made Us. There's G.I. Joe.
Oh, my gosh.
I've seen 3 of these. Barbie, it's really good.
There's He-Man.
There's Star Wars.
And Star Wars.
Star Wars is the first episode. My favorite of that episode so far is actually He-Man. Because the story of He-Man is so simply just a bunch of dudes, like, trying... like
just figuring out a toy. It's like, what would be cool?
It's like a bunch of dudes figuring out a toy.
There's like, G.I. Joe, there's Transformers, there's Star Wars.
Everything else was kind of IP, or it was a long process. Whereas the He-Man story was so clear-cut to me, where I was just like, oh, just a bunch of dudes making... just a bunch of dudes in an office, like, talking about how they're trying to make a toy. And then the toy became the thing. Like, before this series, you could have asked me what came first, the He-Man toy or the cartoon. I genuinely would not have had an answer.
Oh, it was, I know for a fact that it was the toy first.
Well, I know this now.
That's cool.
It was definitely the toy first, and then it got dark. They came with, like, little companion booklets. I mean, you'll see the stories in there, but
that's my favorite.
He-Man was a dark version of, like, kind of along the lines of like a Conan, and then they very much lightened it up and then did the cartoon.
And then the cartoon over-lightened it up too, that, like, it's this kind of amalgam, like, what we think He-Man is versus what they thought He-Man was, and they had sketches. Like, that was my favorite of these episodes.
Yeah, and if you could run away with a toy line with you and your friends just sitting there and saying, well, let's make this toy, let's make that toy, that's one of the fascinating stories about He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
That was great. Good job. I do want to add really quickly, I know you talked about the Dave Chappelle. I know how to say his name. I just always say it awkwardly. There are 2 specials. So I thought there was only one, but thank you, Zias, for letting us know. The first one is called Dave Chappelle, Equanimity, and the other one is called Dave Chappelle, The Bird Revelation. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, this one's really, really fun. JD in the chat, you're asking, have they talked about the end of the freaking world or end of the beep, 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 beep? Well, you know what? I actually was going to be talking about that, and we are going to be talking about it. What I'm going to do for you right now is we're going to play the trailer.
I'm James. I'm 17, and I'm pretty sure I'm a psychopath. When I was 9, I put my hand in a deep fat fryer.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, that looks like it hurts.
School was beneath me, but it was a good place for observation and selection. I had a plan. I was gonna kill someone.
Hey?
I've seen you skating. You're pretty shit.
Fuck off.
Working all day with my mind on fire. I can't stop thinking of you.
I kind of think I could fall in love with him.
I thought she could be interesting to kill, so I pretended to fall in love with her. Walking all
day with my this is nice.
What is?
I thought probably he was gay.
He does, prick. Let's leave this shithole town. I'm going whether you come with me or not. You in?
I didn't know where we were going or when I was going to kill her. I punched my dad in the face and stole his car, and that felt like a good place to start.
We can literally do anything.
Do you want to go on a date?
I will have a banana split and an extra fucking spoon.
Sorry, that's it, right?
Marvin! Oh, yeah. See if Marvin can make a banana split for me, you fucking... Bye, Marvin!
Seemed that Alyssa what? Had some issues. Keep on
running. I feel safe with James. Keep on
hiding. Being with Alyssa had started to make me feel things. I didn't like it at all.
Have you ever eaten a pussy before? A lot of the time, you don't register the important moments as they happen. You only see that they were important when you look back.
Seatbelt.
Fuck seatbelts. Take your top off.
I think I'm stuck. Do you think it's going to explode?
It's not a film.
We won't be able to fix it. We can't just leave it here.
Oh, and the car explodes.
Do you reckon you can still fix it?
Why is no one stopping?
Probably because you've got your tits out. No one stops the weirdos except other weirdos.
Do you want a lift?
Come on.
I am going to be so fucked off if we get murdered.
So this trailer was brought to you by the creative minds at the AV Squad. Good job, Erica and Aya. And,
This wasn't on my radar till just the second, and now I want to go home and watch the series.
Yeah, so I've been trying to get to it, and so I was like, you know what, I'm going to talk about it, show the trailer that way, like I will get to it. But yeah, this also dropped on January 5th.
Oh, okay.
So you're not too far away. Like it's not like it dropped a month ago or anything.
Also, Alex Rother in this show, he was also in an episode of Black Mirror. I believe it was called Shut Up and Dance. It was season 3.
Okay.
He was also really good. It's good to see he can have a lot more range in this part. And how many episodes is it? I'm going to click and see how many episodes we're looking at here.
Oh, four.
Eight. Okay. 8 episodes of this show. I'm in. And they're 22 minutes. Oh, this is going to be great.
Oh, that's very easy.
I will report back to you.
I'll watch it too. We'll figure it out when. But hey, JD is like, hey, great minds think alike. Thank you for watching. And I had the trailer ready to go for you. So that's awesome. I'm glad that you brought it up before I brought it up. And I'm glad that I'm not the only one thinking, am I the only guy watching this?
We've got Sochil4 in the chat saying, asking if any of us watched Travelers.
You know, I keep seeing the thumbnail, and I believe that's Eric McCormick, right, from Will and Grace it? But I have not had the opportunity to watch it or jump into it. And I think a problem, I mean, I hate to be honest, but I think a problem is that I know Eric McCormick too much from being Will from Will and Grace. And since they've rebooted it, I'm also very anti that as well, because I feel like that takes away from other opportunities for other people. And so I have not seen Travelers, but so chill. Love to hear your thoughts on it. Please, in the chat, in the comments afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why I should watch it.
Yeah, 98. Netflix says I should be watching this. 98% match. I have heard of this show.
94%.
Season two just dropped for this show. So
yeah, the thumbnail. Yeah, the thumbnail is always like on my thing. So
it exists.
If you guys are wondering what it's about, really quickly, it's about a federal agent tracking 4 people who suddenly seem to possess entirely new personalities. Oh. Leading to a startling discovery about humanity's future. It's Sunday. I'm like, ooh. So that sounds interesting, actually.
Yeah. I think I've heard something to the effect of they can take control of a body right before it dies. Ooh. It's real weird. It's real weird.
That might have me hooked. That actually might have me hooked. So we've talked about Jerry Seinfeld, and someone else that's a blast from the past is Mr. David Letterman. And although he's not coming back to the networks anytime soon, and he doesn't have The Late Show anymore because that's Mr. Stephen Colbert, he is going to have a special and some episodes on Netflix, just like Chelsea Handler did. I've got a little brief trailer for you. And for those of you who remember who David Letterman is,
What?
Okay.
Then I didn't have a show for a long time, and I can't tell you
how great it is to be out of the damn house.
Wow. Mm.
That beard.
You never know when you might learn something, and that's what this is about for me. These are people that I admire. Please welcome my next guest.
That'll be good. Howard Stern and Jay.
Tina Fey.
And President Barack Obama. Well. So it'll be good to see David Letterman back. He's got a big old furry beard.
He looks like Santa.
Yeah, and it's cool to know that he's not confined to a network show anymore. Mm-hmm. So he can say the F-bomb. He can probably give more of his thoughts and not have to worry about advertisers.
Yeah, well... Yeah. He said these are the people that he admires, so I feel like he has more of a say, of course, in who he chooses, and I think that makes for a better interview. You know, he actually wants them to be there. They're not there promoting a movie or anything, so I'm excited.
Maybe kind of like a Barbara Walters, like 2020 special, or I was trying to figure out, do you guys think that he'll do a top 10?
No, I think he'll just do the... So.
What are you known for?
I think he's going to... It sounds like he's going to do a long-form... Marc Maron style interview with ridiculously high profile people like the President of the United States. That better be the first episode. David Letterman interviewing the President of the United States. Okay. That needs to be the first episode.
Okay. Well, President or Barack former, Obama.
Yeah, President. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
So I'm one. Like, why did he put President?
If you're the President, you're always the President. You're always the President. Bill Clinton is still Mr. President. You're always Mr. President. You never like lose that title.
That's good.
So, and unfortunately, yeah.
That's good for the past.
It's good for most of the presidents. It's not good for, but that's another story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I'm going to do now is I think I'm just going to kind of go over some things that are, since I talked about Matt Reeves, if you ever wanted to revisit the old versions of Batman, not Adam West Batman, but...
Can you say Batman like Batman? I've been wanting you to do that the whole time.
Batman. I am the Batman.
Okay,
Batman.
I'll take it. He's French.
No, but if you wanted to, you know, the first incarnation of the rebooted Batmans, I guess, in terms of not Chris Nolan, but Michael Keaton, George Clooney, Val Kilmer, they have all dropped on Netflix for this month. Or they're going to be on... Yeah, they did. They did on the first. So if you want to revisit how either good or bad Batman was, there you go.
Great.
I mean, will you guys be doing that?
I unfortunately know those movies a little too well, and it actually is hard to... I saw every one of those movies in the theater when they were released.
Oh, wow.
And it's a little hard to go back and watch, seeing how the superhero storytelling has evolved,
mm-hmm.
especially like Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a big discrepancy. Like, if you want to go back and you want to watch Batman, Tim Burton's Batman was good. Batman Returns, and then after that, it kind of got back and then just kind of went down. But like, it turned into a whole big like toy marketing. And yeah.
I will say Val Kilmer gets a lot of flack for being for his portrayal of Batman.
I thought he did a good job.
I thought he was a great, very cerebral Batman, so much so that he was meeting with a therapist. I think there was a lot going on in Batman Forever. I think Batman and Robin is almost to the level of The Room, where you need to watch it just to have said you've seen it.
That's one of those movies, unfortunately, that really just got derailed. Like, I mean, it really just got... That was like, let's just sell out this movie and make a Batman and Robin, but with a bad storyline, and we'll hopefully think that the toys will just sell themselves.
Well, it's actually really funny. I'm looking at the trailer. I'm looking at the poster right now, because if you type Batman into Netflix, you see the Tim Burton trilogy plus Batman and Robin, but also Batman Begins, but no Dark Knight. And then also Gotham, a show I cover here on AfterBuzz TV. So I'm kind of into the bat, but you look at the poster for Batman and Robin, and it's a picture of Batman and Mr. Freeze. The title of the film is Batman and Robin, and it's a picture of Batman and Mr. Freeze.
You had one job.
Well, it's because...
No, that's because it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Exactly. It's George Clooney, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. Those are the people you're putting on the poster.
Because Chris O'Donnell is now Robin. Back on TV.
Because similarly, Batman Forever was the introduction of that Robin, and it's just a picture of Val Kilmer as Batman.
I would love to know everyone's favorite Batman movie.
Like, who's your quintessential Batman?
Well, that just Batman related. I mean, there's,
Yeah. I mean, Dark Knight is...
Dark Knight?
I think Dark Knight is probably the best Batman film made at the time, or At the time, it was the best superhero sequel. I think it's still...
Your favorite. Not best, but your favorite.
No, I like the Dark Knight.
I'm torn. I mean, I know everybody and their dog likes the Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole Heath Ledger of it all. My issue with that is I thought it was really, really, really long. I actually don't mind Dark Knight Rises.
All right.
Okay.
The third one.
We've got several people in the chat joining in. So I do not know much about Batman, mm-hmm. so maybe you can help me. Gotham by Gaslight?
Well, these are Batman stories.
Okay. We've got fans of those. Zias and Stardrew, love that. Michael Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
People love him. The Mickey M says that. Zias says, mine is Nolanverse Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Stardrew said, Batman Under the Red Hood.
Mm-hmm. Yep, okay. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one.
JD says, does Kevin Conroy count?
The voice of Batman in, I believe,
the animated. No, he's great. He's great. But, like, these are just, like, the live action. But in terms of, like, if you're talking about the whole lore, those are done really, really well. And it's unfortunate that the live action DC just can't get it together to make the movies like the animation ones.
I always think of the animated series, the Batman animated series, I think of in the same vein as the X-Men animated series, that it's just done so well. Like, when you try to visit that IP live action, they just mess it up. Like, you should have just gone frame for frame from the animated series. It'd be great. Right. I don't know. While we're talking Batman, the thing I said Batman. I wasn't going to do.
All right, guys. So that does it for this week. Amy, where can everybody find you?
On Instagram at Amy Cassandra Martinez, on Twitter at Amy Cassandra M, and make sure you guys follow me because I have been going to the Television Critics Association winter press tours. So I'm getting all the inside scoop on your favorite shows for CW, Fox. I will be going to the NBC one as well, so make sure you follow me.
And I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is KaufMann. I've got two picks for you. One that I highly recommend, which is Documentary Now. If you're a fan of documentary films and satire, that's the one for you. And one I have not seen, this one just jumped out at me. It is called Stasis. In the year 2067, after 7 billion people have perished in a war, two agents travel back in time to 2017 to prevent the apocalypse. How have none of us seen Stasis?
That's my
pick.
I'll be watching. And you guys can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-U-N-G. And next week we should have Ashley Chaney back with some Golden Globes info, and you can find her at Ashley on Camera. Next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
I'm the Batman.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.